And we're going to start today with Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, the whole thing. Genesis chapter 1. This is what we're doing is laying the groundwork to today, opening a mini-series I've entitled Victorious in an Evil World. Victorious in an Evil World. But we're going to lay some groundwork today, and no better way to lay groundwork than to read God's Word. So we're going to read quite a bit of Scripture today. And I'll do a little bit of preaching too. And I'll still try to get done by 11, but I'm not guaranteeing you anything. I haven't preached in 2 months. All right, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God called the dry ground land, and gathered the waters He called seas. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the expanse of the sky to give light to on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures and the sea of every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us the account of creation. And Lord, our confession is this morning, we believe it. We believe it, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as I open this message today, that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that, Lord, you bear me up. I pray against any kind of dizziness or faintness in Jesus' name as I deliver this message. I pray, Lord, that only the words you would have me speak this morning would be spoken from my lips, and all for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's good to go to the first chapter and look at creation every so often, because everything in the world is trying to denounce the truth, which is creation by intelligent design. All right? So, very important that we read this from time to time and adhere to what it says, because everything in the world that is trying to make people not believe what God's word says, right down to he created them male and female. We're living in a day right now where they're trying to erase that. And it's up to us as believers to stand up against that evil and say, no, male and female, God created them. Okay? That's the way it works. And anything that is said that violates the word of God is evil. Alright? Anything that is not born of faith is sin, according to the word of God. Sin is evil. Am I right in that? Sin is, it equates to be evil. Alright? So, I trust we're all on the same page. So the world we live in today is evil. Obviously, according to the scripture we just read, it was not always evil. If you go back through that and count them, because I did, the creation account states 7 times that what God made was good. 7 times in that chapter, there's a pause where God said, "This is good." Yeah. See, he can do that. He can pat his own back because he's God. He can say, "I did good. I did real good." And it's not prideful because there's no pride in him. How many of you remember the Guns of Wilsonet? No brag, just fact. So, no brag when it comes to God. He was stating a fact. It was good. And the final one, he said in verse 31, God saw that he had made what he had made, and it was very good. So when people say, How can this happen if there's a good God? You say there's a good God. How does this happen? How does that happen? How does this happen? Listen, guys, if you've ever had people challenge you with that question, the answer really is pretty simple. Sin entered the world, and as a result, we live in a fallen world. God did not create the evil. He created what was good. We just saw it 7 times in the first chapter of Genesis. It was good. There was no sin. There was no falling short of God. There was no sin in the earth until Adam and Eve violated what God had told them. And they took of the forbidden fruit of the tree that was in the middle of the garden, and sin entered the earth. And ever since that day, we, the earth, have been dealing with what's called original sin. And it passes down, that tendency passes down from generation to generation to generation to generation. Along with that, there are generational curses. I'm not going to go too far down this road. Someday maybe I'll teach on those kinds of things, but at greater depth. But there are such things as generational curses. So the world became evil through man's disobedience to God. That is not on God, that is on man. But people always want to blame God for the evil in this world. It was not Him. He has given us a roadmap for life. Man decided that he wanted to do it his own way. We still have that tendency. We do. We still have that tendency to want to do it our own way, don't we? Let's be honest. Well, now, I want to read chapter 3. Of Genesis. Told you we were going to read a lot of scripture. Chapter 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve, because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand to take it also, to take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished from him from the garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Well, one first thing I want to look at is the whole idea of Adam and Eve, the first ones to sin. First created and first to sin. Both had it in them already because of the sin that entered their lives to not want to take responsibility for their actions and blame somebody else. Adam, he took a swipe at God. The woman you put here with me. She gave me the fruit and I ate it. So in one swipe, Adam says, yep, it's your fault and it's her fault. I'm kind of surprised God didn't wipe it all out right then. Aren't you? I mean, honest, let's be honest. And, of course, he's not going to take responsibility, so she doesn't fess up. She blames the serpent. Well, he did deceive me. Well, he did. It's no different than when we have said, and I say we because I include myself in this, because in the past I had made this statement. Well, the devil made me do it. That is the same thing as what she did when she said the serpent deceived her. There's no difference. She said, the serpent deceived me. And we have said, well, the devil made me do it. The devil can't make us do anything. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. He's pretty tactical, isn't he? But we can't blame him for the evil that we allow to come into our own lives through our own disobedience. It's called repentance. Repentance. True repentance. That means we take ownership of the sin that we have committed, we confess it, and renounce it, and ask God to give us the strength to not go down that path again, to not do that thing again. That's true repentance. To make a decision to turn from it, to be sorry for it, to acknowledge I'm a sinner, which means I need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. He's the only one. We live in an evil world. But we're called by God in His Word to live in the world without being part of the world, which means the world system, the system of sin. The world system is entrenched in sin. We're called to not be part of that. We obviously have to live in the world, but not be part of that. This should be preached in every church in the United States of America, because there are a lot of churches that are no longer preaching on sin. They're never, because of that, they're not preaching repentance. All they're preaching is love. God loves you no matter what. Yes, He does. He'll love you all the way to hell. And it's not Him that casts you there. It's your own disobedience that casts you to hell. I all of a sudden feel like preaching. So nobody can blame God and say, well, if He's a loving God, He wouldn't send anyone to hell. Hell was not created for man. It wasn't. Hell was created for Satan and the fallen angels. But man sinned, and therefore man goes to hell now. Not because God sent them there, but because man has chosen to turn from God and not repent. God has even provided a way when there was no way. Jesus Christ paid the price for our sin because of the evil in the world, the tendency that is in every one of us to do evil. And again, I include myself. I'm a sinner saved by grace, guys. Just like you. If you're here today and you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and you're in a walk with Him, you're saved, but you're a sinner saved by grace through faith. So the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was, we see three things here, good for food, the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh today, just like then, is getting people in big trouble. It's the lust of the flesh that we see all over the internet, all over the TV, everywhere. Lust of the flesh. Pleasing to the eye. And desirable for gaining wisdom. That's the pride of life. Desirable for gaining wisdom. That's the pride of life. Satan still attacks humanity with these same three. He sets us up that hoping that we will fall to one or all of these three. He has not changed His tactic in all these years. Why not? Because it works. Satan hasn't changed His tactics one bit. Because it works. Because people have turned their hearts from God and started being gods all unto themselves. You realize what's happening in the world, what's happening in our nation is man, and when I say man, because it's speaking of both genders in the Bible, and it says man was created. Man, humanity. Lost my train of thought. I lost it. All right, moving on. In the Greek, the most common word for the world is cosmos. The total of the material universe, including man, cosmos, is derived from the verb cosmeo. What does that, why am I bringing this up? Because it means to beautify. It means to beautify, which indicates the original creation and purpose of the world. It was good. But since the fall of man, the good and beauty in the world can best be observed and enjoyed by those who have God living in them. These are the blessed and the meek, which are described in the third beatitude. That's Matthew 5, verse 5, if you're taking notes. In the third beatitude, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." They are the ones who will inherit the earth, who enjoy its original purpose. We are dealing with the curse that came when sin entered the world. Remember, cosmos means beauty. It comes from the root word that means made beautiful. Okay? To beautify. The Garden of Eden, I don't think you and I understand how beautiful that was. And they never had a rainy day. They never had a rainy day. Because it didn't rain then. It didn't rain until the floodgates opened and raised the ark that Noah had built. That was the first time it rained. For all that time before that, the earth was watered by the dew. They never had a rainy day. Can you imagine? But yet everything was green and lush. Because sin had not entered the world, they didn't have thistles. When they didn't have to weed their garden. Can you imagine? Can you imagine planting a garden and it never got a weed in it? All that grew was your tomatoes and cabbage and your radishes and your lettuce and whatever your favorites are. All that grew there was what you planted there. And there was never a weed. Dude, I'm just telling you, that's paradise. That is paradise. But because man chose evil, we're dealing with the weeds, the tares. We're dealing with them in our own lives as well. And not only in the physical sense of the ground and all of that. But in our own lives. The weeds that we don't till in our own lives. The weeds I'm calling as sin. We're in a dangerous place when we allow sin to linger in our lives. I'm talking about patterns of sin. Listen, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. I might sin again in the next 10 minutes. I might cop an attitude. You wouldn't know it. Am I telling the truth? Isn't that right? You might too, honestly. Maybe you're not as bad as me, but you might too. You might cop an attitude before you leave here today. I don't know. Somebody might walk by and say, or stop and talk to you and say something that just... Maybe we'll go outside and throw down. Because we're like that. But see, that's not premeditated. It's still sin. But when we cast those thoughts down of retaliation and just decide, I'm just going to let that go. That probably came out wrong. They didn't mean it that way. Or whatever. Right? We just make a decision to kick that out and don't give the devil an opportunity. And we have those decisions to make all the time. If we are bent to be offended, we can be offended every day of our lives. And boy, there's no joy in that. So we got a lot of decisions to make. Am I going to do it God's way or am I going to do it my way? Because see, bless God, I didn't deserve that. Who do they think they are? Why, I'm going to. Right? And then all too often it doesn't stay between two people. Always got to gather people into their camp. It's what divides families. It's what divides churches. Evil. Anything that is not born of faith is sin. And sin is evil. In Galatians 1, verses 3 through 5, Paul says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age." We are living in that present evil age that is referenced right here. We are living in that age. We are living in the church age right now. According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So it's God's will that we live out our lives in this world of evil that we're living in, but be in the world without being part of the world, as I said earlier. How many times has your faith been shaken because you've been going through something very tough and it seems to have gone on and on and on, and you've been praying and praying and praying for God to deliver you from that, and the answer doesn't come, and the answer doesn't come, and the answer doesn't come, and after a while, let's be honest, it might start shaking your faith in God. Doesn't God care about me? And the devil will sure come in there and help with that. Those thoughts, you know, he just loves it when we start thinking those things. He'll help anywhere he can. But we can't blame him for all of it because we got this sin nature. So, we're living in this present evil age. By God's design, because it's shaping us and preparing us, he's using it to prepare us for eternity. We've all, whether we admit it or not, have got rougher edges. Some of us have got bigger rough edges than others, but we've all got rough edges. And when we live in this present evil age and keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, and follow after him, and not be distracted by all the evil in the world. If you allow yourself to be distracted by all the evil in the world, you will never find God's will for your life. You'll never walk in God's will for your life if your eyes are constantly on the evil. Now, mind you, we are supposed to be aware. We're not supposed to be hiding our heads in the sand. But we don't dwell on those things. We keep our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, which means we draw Jesus close, and although we're aware of all of the evil in the world, it's not at the forefront. Jesus is. And thereby we overcome, because what's closest to us is Jesus, our Redeemer. And then all of those other things, because Jesus is at the forefront, all of those other things look smaller. When we get that out of order and we get Jesus far off and we allow all of the things of this world to come in close, whatever's the closest to you looks the biggest. If you don't believe me, sit somebody down, have them put their feet out in front of them on a couch or something. Get your phone, take a picture. Their feet will look like they're size 27. And their head will look like it's about half the size. Because what is the closest to you looks the biggest. If we're going to overcome this evil world, this is a major, major thing we need to get our head cut in on. That we keep our eyes on Jesus. The Greek word here is translated the present evil age, means a generation or a kind of people. The Greek that is translated in the NIV, the present evil age, they got it right. The NIV got that right. They nailed this one. That's what I want you to understand. So we live in this present evil age, guys, and I want to close with this. We'll pick up where we left off next week, Lord willing. But I find a lot of people that have become discouraged through what we have been going through in this nation. Guys, let me repeat what I told you 3.5 years ago. God's going to turn this thing around. But it's only going to be for a season. We know from the Word of God, if you have studied prophecy, there's going to come a time where there will be a one world order. But they're out ahead of God. They're pushing a reset that is not of God. God's going to bring a reset prior. He's going to turn this thing around. And He's going to allow some extra time for people to repent and come to Him. I believe this with my whole heart, or I would never be standing here telling you this. But I want to reiterate, God is going to turn this thing around. But it's only going to be for a season. And after that season, however long it is, all hell will break loose on earth. Thank God that Jesus Christ is returning for His bride. And we will be caught up in the air. The word we use for that is rapture. But there's a lot of people, denominations, churches, that hate that word rapture. Well, I love that word rapture. Because all it means is to be caught up. To be caught up in the air. And I can't wait till Jesus Christ returns for us. I just pray that we are ready. I pray that God will use me as a pastor to adequately prepare the people under my care for His return. See, the call on my life. I know the call on my life. God has called me to preach the gospel and lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I know that. That's a call on my life. And then part two of that is to then disciple people and teach them how to live in this newfound faith. That's the call on my life. So that's what I do week after week. Had a little siesta here for a couple months. Not by my design. I didn't want that. I didn't want that at all. But it is what it is. We're picking up where we left off. Amen? Amen. So we're going to quit there, guys, for now. I don't know if it'll take me one or two more weeks to finish this message. We'll see how it goes. But I tried to lay some groundwork today. Do you feel like we got some groundwork laid? Let's all stand together. Father, we seek Your face and we just thank You, Lord, for Your goodness and Your grace, for Your healing power, for the deliverance that is available in Jesus Christ, for salvation in Jesus Christ and none other. Lord, I pray that we've been awakened afresh and anew to the two passages that we read today. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just leave here and forget about it, but Lord, that you would stir these things up in us throughout this week and bring us back next week to pick up where we left off and continue in this message about overcoming this evil world. And we thank you that you have equipped us. You have provided everything that we need. And we just pray, Lord, that you bring us back safely next weekend. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. We love you.